Chapter 14.
Are you sure you just knocked him out?
Shala questioned, as she poked the fat dragon's eyeball repeatedly.
He's responding about the same as a corpse. His chest is still rising,
Valeya noted, as she pointed at the dragon's torso.
He's still very much alive. I told you this powder was potent.
Awara brought me back down to my crewmates, who had now formed a semicircle around the fallen dragon. All of them stared at the majestic creature as it slumbered, though none of them seemed to be brave enough to get any closer than 10 feet. So I took the initiative. I strode forward, reached out to the dragon, and placed it on the creature's stomach gently. See? I looked back over my shoulder at Mirella and grinned. Just like in your vision, I told you it would all work out in the end. And I have your quick thinking to thank for that, Mirella.
I just did what anyone would have.
My daughter shrugged.
Given the situation.
Not a chance,
Kaelon declared as he stepped between Mirella and Charin.
Only somebody as brave and as smart and as charming as you could have come up with such a great solution, Mirella.
What does charm have to do with anything?
The teenage girl raised an eyebrow at the boy.
I could be a stone-cold bitch, and I probably would have still come up with that idea. Actually, I much prefer being called that to charming.
But you're not a... whatever that word means.
The spindrel boy stammered.
You're one of the kindest, sweetest, and most beautiful people I...
Look! I interrupted the kid before my blood pressure could get too high. We're all running on some high emotions right now, so maybe we should all just take a step back and reflect on what we're feeling. We definitely wouldn't want to say anything that could lead to severe consequences now, would we? Particularly the castratable kind.
No, sir.
Kaelon's eyes went wide as he looked down at the ground.
We, definitely would not.
That's what I like to hear. I winked at the boy, though I was dead serious.
So, what happens now?
Errol questioned.
Do we all have to stand around, join hands, and say some sort of enchantment?
No, nothing like that. There is an entire process we must go through. It is long and somewhat boring, but it must be done to perfection if we want the dragon to form a bond with Nadir.
We'd best get started, then. If there's one thing I've learned from being on this island is that you don't want to be out after nightfall. The sooner we get the ball rolling, the sooner we can get back to shelter.
Excuse me, Jonas?
Pei interjected with a raised finger.
Does the Draco Rex need to be present for this ceremony? I had some urgent news I wanted to share with him, in private.
I suppose not.
Jonas rubbed his chiseled chin as he thought it over.
Technically, all I need is Nadir and the dragon. Actually, that might be for the best anyway. I grow very, very nervous when performing this ceremony in front of the Draco Rex.
Aw, Jonas. Don't get bashful on account of little old me.
No, it's not bashfulness. It is simply a matter of nerves. I have already messed this up once before in your presence, and I don't want it to happen again.
You're not going to mess it up, my friend, I reassured the soothsayer. But if you really feel that way, I guess I can go see what Pei wants to talk about, though I doubt it'll take the full time of the ceremony.
Any amount of time would help,
Jonas said, as he pulled a small vial of oil from his pocket.
Now, let's begin.
Come, Draco Rex.
Pei motioned for me to follow her into the woods.
We have much to discuss.
The silver-haired spindrel woman strutted off into a set of luminos to the right, and I followed behind her eagerly. What the hell was so important that she needed to take me away from the group? My body was exhausted from the long journey and the skirmish with the fat dragon, so whatever it was, I hoped it wasn't too energy-exerting. Pei led me off to a spot nearly half a mile to the west of the Great Abyss, into a small clearing. And there sat a small pond with crystal-clear water and a flat stone just big enough for somebody to sit on. Okay, I admitted as I stepped into the clearing. You've got me all alone. Now, what is this big news you speak of?
Shala and Errol.
The Magnus Dew smiled.
They are pregnant with your children, Draco Rex.
My heart swelled with happiness as Pei's words washed over me. Really? How can you be so sure?
Let's be honest with ourselves, Ben.
The spindrel leader mused.
My people are known for their fertility, and you are known for your strong seed. They told me about their little romp with you in the cave. Anyone can put the clues together here.
Even though having a baby wasn't a new thing for me, it still filled me with pure joy when I found out one of my lovers was pregnant. Especially when it was the women of a new species, ones who needed my seed to repopulate their dying races. Thanks to me, the Spindrel people would be able to survive into the next generation, if not beyond. Still, that didn't explain why Pei needed me alone to deliver the news.
Well, that's great, Pei, but why did you have to bring me all the way out here to tell me?
I didn't bring you out here to tell you that.
The silver-haired woman grinned.
I brought you all the way out here to tell you I want the same.
All of the blood in my body rushed to my cock at the thought of impregnating this beautiful, powerful, yet delicate woman. You want the same as in... I trailed off and played dumb.
As in, I want to bear your child, Ben.
Pei grinned as she reached up and unfastened the strings on the back of her armor.
I want you to fill my womb with your seed and breed me. Now.
Once they were undone, the entire chest piece fell away from Pei's body, and her gorgeous figure was illuminated by the soft neon lights around us. Pei's breasts were round, full, and taut against her slender chest. Her soft pink nipples were erect with arousal as she bent over and gently pulled off the bit of fabric that covered her nether regions. And as she did so, she exposed the perfectly smooth slit that rested between her legs. My dick shot to full mast at the sight of the naked woman, and I wanted nothing more than to go over there and ravish her where she stood.
You want to bear my child?
I raised an eyebrow at the woman. But you have a kid already.
And?
Pei huffed as she crossed her arms across her perky B-cups.
The Spindrel women are known for their great fertility, Draco Rex. We weren't created that way just to have a single child.
I still had some questions, but they were the furthest thing from my mind at the moment. Right now, the only thing that mattered was the sexy hedgehog woman in front of me. So I made my move. I walked over to Pei, brushed my hand across her cheek softly, and then placed one hand on her outer thigh. Next, I fell down to my knees and dragged my hand across her toned belly.
I want to make sure you're nice and wet first,
I growled, as I looked up into her beautiful baby blue eyes.
I already am, Ben.
The woman gasped and then smirked.
I've been wet every single moment since we met. Once I realized all the other women were mating with you, I began to crave your seed. I can't wait to feel your manhood thrust deep inside of me.
Just wait. I can take you to the fucking moon and back. Before she could say another word, I pressed my face into Pei's womanhood. I let my tongue slip from my mouth, and then began to glide it across the tender lips of her labia. Pei was right. She was already fucking super wet. I lapped up her sweet juices as I teased Pei with my tongue.
Is that supposed to make me wetter? Because it's working like a charm?
No. I admitted, as I pulled back with a smirk. That was just teasing. This is what's going to put you over the edge. I gripped a handful of the Spindrel woman's ass as I pressed my tongue against her clitoris. I swirled it around with my tongue in a counterclockwise motion for a bit, and then I switched it up to just simple, sporadic motions with my mouth. Either way, it drove Pei wild. The silver-haired beauty grabbed a handful of my hair as she leaned her head back and let out a groan of satisfaction.
Your tongue! How'd you get so good with it?
I wasn't about to spill the beans. It was an industry secret. Every now and then I would pull away from Pei's pussy and kiss down her inner thighs. Each time the silver-haired beauty would quiver and tense up just before she let out a soft whimper. But when I moved back to her clit, her whimpers turned into full-on moans.
You taste so good,
I growled as I continued to lap up her sweet juices. Pei tasted as sweet as fresh honey, and I could have stayed down there for hours. But, as much as we both enjoyed the act of cunnilingus, Pei wasn't going to get pregnant this way. I increased the pace of my tongue and ran it around her swollen love button. Pei's moans grew closer and closer together as her body trembled and her eyes rolled back in her head.
Oh, Ben!
She sputtered.
Ben, I think I'm about to... Oh!
I could feel Pei's pussy spasm against my face as her grip on my hair tightened, and she trembled like a bowl of jello. Shot after shot of her love juices oozed from her precious velvet lips, and I made sure to lap up each and every ounce. When she was finally done with her orgasm, I stood back up and kissed her passionately, and our tongues danced in each other's mouths as Pei helped me remove my shirt. Her soft, slender fingers ran across my bare abs as she tossed the shirt to the side, and then she began to drift down into my waistband. Pei let out a gasp when she felt my erection, though her surprise quickly turned into excitement.
I can see why the other girls loved you.
Pei purred as she began to stroke me tenderly. We continued to make out as I reached down, shimmied off my pants, and allowed my manhood to stand free. It was hard as a rock at the moment, and it was only getting harder as the silver-haired beauty played with it. Pei jerked me with one hand as her second one drifted down and began to fondle my balls.
Oh, fuck!
I let out a long, deep groan to let her know how much I liked that, and the hedgehog woman increased her pace. I pulled away from her lips as I tweaked her right nipple with my fingers and began to nuzzle her neck. I gave her neck a few soft bites in between the kisses, and the sensation seemed to send her onto cloud nine. When my mouth finally got down to her nipples, however, she couldn't take it anymore. As I sucked and licked and nibbled on her tender nubs, Pei's body tensed up, and she let go of my manhood before she pulled away, shook her head, and smirked.
What's wrong? Did you not like that?
I loved it, but now I want you to fill me up.
My dick stood to attention at her suggestion, and I wasn't about to let it go unfulfilled. I pressed my lips against Pei's as I reached down, grabbed the underside of her right thigh, and pulled it up around my waist. The second I was in position, I pressed the head of my cock against her delicate pussy lips. But I didn't go in quite yet. No, I wanted to tease her a little bit more. I could feel the blood as it pulsated through her swollen labia, and the sensation drove me wild. I felt my dick grow even harder as it rubbed against the entrance of her womanhood. And I swore I felt an ounce of pre-cum dribble off my fleshy tip. At the same time, Pei's juices were gushing out like she was a human monsoon. Somebody's excited. I winked at the silver-haired beauty.
Is that even going to fit?
Pei gulped as her pupils engulfed her baby blue irises. We're about to find out, I whispered, and then I slid myself inside of the spindrel woman. The warm, wet muscles of Pei's pussy gripped me like a vice as I pushed forward into her, until I eventually felt myself bottom out against her cervix.
Are you?
I'm all the way in. Now hold on tight and get ready for the ride of your life. I kissed the spindrel woman intensely as I began to pump in and out of her velvet tunnel with a rhythmic motion. Our tongues intertwined as her tender womanhood engulfed me like a glove and refused to release me from its grip. I swore Pei was getting tighter by the second. Every time I pulled my cock from inside of the hedgehog woman, it felt like it took double the effort to get myself back inside. Still, I persisted. Soon the warm coil in my abdomen twisted into a knot as my balls tensed up and readied their shot. Meanwhile, Pei threw back her head and moaned as her hands traveled around my body. The beautiful woman traced her fingers around my pecs and then my abs before they wandered down and gripped onto my ass as tight as they possibly could. Pei's eyes were intense as she stared me down, and she used her leverage to shove me even further inside of her.
Oh, fuck!
I gasped as my cock nearly exploded.
Oh, I didn't think I could go any further.
Pei just smiled as she squeezed the muscles in her right leg against my back and slowly forced me in deeper. My pelvis suddenly touched Pei's, and we both tensed up as we tried to keep from coming right then and there. We kissed again as we held each other in the carnal embrace, though neither one of us dared to move a muscle. We were both on the very edge of the mountaintop, and we stared down over the edge into the abyss of pure ecstasy. But neither of us wanted it to end just yet. Pei gave me a soft kiss on the lips before she pulled away and looked up at me with innocent blue eyes.
Let me finish you,
she begged.
Please?
That platform over there, I declared, as I pointed to the flat slab of stone. It's the perfect spot. I allowed myself to slide out of Pei's wetness, and then I grabbed her hand and led her over to the spot. Next, I flipped around, sat down on the rock with my bare ass, and patted my lap. Pei must have understood immediately, because she wasted no time in tossing her left leg over me. She then grabbed a hold of my cock, pressed the tip against her tight, wet pussy lips, and slid me inside of her. Her velvet tunnel was like ecstasy on high, and I just about blew my load right then and there.
Draco Rex!
Pei mewled as my rock-hard shaft split her in half.
You feel even bigger than you look.
You haven't seen anything yet, I growled. The warm coil in my abdomen tightened to new levels as Pei lowered herself onto me. Soon, I felt myself bottom out against her cervix, and she looked me deep in the eyes as she placed both her arms on my shoulders.
Are you ready?
I've never been more ready for anything in my life, I admitted. Pei pressed her lips against mine, and we kissed tenderly as she started to grind her hips up and down on my cock. Her pussy was so wet it took no effort whatsoever, and I had a sneaking suspicion this was going to be the orgasm of a lifetime. The hedgehog woman continued to ride me ragged for nearly 10 more minutes before we switched things up. I pulled away from Pei's mouth, leaned over, and sucked on her nipples while she grinded her velvet tunnel against me. Pei then shifted her position so her entire body weight was on top of me, and somehow I slid even further inside of her.
Oh, wow.
The silver-haired beauty moaned. Oh, fuck, you're so tight, I growled, before I gave her right nipple a lick. If you want my seed, this is definitely the best way to get it. I paid attention to both of Pei's supple, beautiful breasts as she rode me, and both of us were in pure euphoria. Soon, though, Pei began to approach the mountaintop for the second time. Her hair fell back over her shoulder like a silver cascade as she opened her mouth and let out a small, muffled groan. Her whole body tightened up as she increased her pace, and soon I felt my balls tightening up for the release. Suddenly, Pei froze in place.
Ben, I think I'm almost there.
Then let me take you the rest of the way, I growled and grabbed onto her hips. I lifted Pei up a few inches and then used my pelvic muscles to pump in and out of her from below. The woman threw her head back and let out an eardrum-shattering moan as I fucked her hard, and her entire body started to quiver.
Oh, God!
Pei screamed as her tight tunnel spasmed around me and she came on my dick. The sounds of her orgasm finally sent me over the edge, and the neon lights of the foliage around us pulsated along with my cock as her womanhood squeezed me like a tube of toothpaste. Pei's juices squirted against my dick as she came, and soon I knew I'd be filling her with mine as well. The dark sky seemed to light up as the ecstasy reached my balls, and they unloaded like an all-star pitcher. My whole body shook as I let out a startled moan, and then I unloaded into Pei like a fire hose filled with cum. Her pussy tightened and spasmed as I filled her womb with my seed, and she held me in her death grip until every single drop of my love had been absorbed by her welcoming body. I held the silver-haired beauty in my arms as we allowed ourselves to melt into each other. I leaned my forehead against Pei's and kissed her softly, and my hands ran along the sides of her soft, fit body, from her cute little backside to her full breasts and tender neck. When I finally thought she'd absorbed everything she could, I slowly lifted her off of me. But my cock throbbed again when I saw my seed trickle out of the hedgehog woman's pussy and trail down her lithe thighs.
We should go wash up.
Pei giggled as she reached down, scooped up my sperm, and inserted it back inside of her. The hedgehog woman's face and chest were bright red from her orgasm, and the poor woman could barely stand as she got back to her feet. Huh. Oh, there. Here, let me help you. I sprang up and threw my arm around her as I kept her from falling. Then I helped guide her toward the small pond. We both entered its surprisingly warm water, crouched down so we were submerged, and then leaned into each other. Pei sighed as she nuzzled up against me. You wouldn't believe how long I've wanted to do that.
Since you met me, I saw the way you were gazing at me when we first encountered your crew.
What can I say? I shrugged and then kissed Pei's silver head. I have a thing for strong warrior women. Look at the rest of my crew.
They are all quite... What was the word you used? Badass? Am I using that term correctly?
You are. And yeah, my entire crew is badass.
I'm sure all the children you have with them will be badass as well.
The silver-haired beauty noted.
Morella is already quite the feisty warrior.
Oh, she really is. My daughter kind of saved our asses back there. But yeah, all of my children are great in their own way. I know ours will be too.
I wonder what they'll look like.
The hedgehog woman mused.
Will they have scales? Or spines? Will they have the big, bulky frame of a dragonkin or the more slender and agile form of a spindrel?
I don't know. But one thing is for sure, they're going to be special, because they'll have a little bit of you in them.
You really know how to charm the females, don't you?
Pei smirked and then she rested her head against my chest. We stayed in that pond for several more minutes, as we cuddled and talked about what the future may bring, now that we'd rid the island of not one, but two of the Spindrel's greatest threats. Finally, once we were good and rested, Pei and I exited the pond. The two of us then got dressed, locked arms, and headed back to the group. As we got closer to the Great Abyss, however, something felt off. And when I finally arrived at the site where we'd felled the dragon, my mouth fell agape. There, hovering in the sky before us, was the fucking fat dragon. "Son of a bitch!" I growled as I drew my sea-glass sword. "I would have thought that the powder would have kept him out for a lot longer."
"It should have,"
Pei declared, as she pulled her staff from her back.
"He should be asleep until the next moon cycle, at least."
The fat dragon's face fell, and he held up his stubby paws.
"Oh, please, my good sir,"
he declared in my head.
"Don't hurt me. I mean you no harm."
"Wait," Jonas called out as he came barreling out from behind a nearby luminous plant.
"They will not hurt you."
"Maybe it will."
Nadir's voice joined in as she stepped out from the foliage.
"But only if I tell him to."
"Hold on." I chuckled as I lowered my sword. "Are you telling me the ceremony worked?"
"It did, Draco Rex,"
the soothsayer declared with a giant grin.
"You are looking at the newest member of our crew. Would you like to introduce yourself?"
"Indeed."
The dragon's burly voice huffed, and then he did a little bow.
"My name is Bungal the Mighty. It is a pleasure to meet you, Draco Rex, and I do apologize for trying to burn you alive earlier. I have not been myself ever since my first bondmate perished."
Welcome to the team, Bungal the Mighty," I said, though I was still in disbelief.
"Look at him, Ben."
Nadir practically moaned as she motioned to her dragon.
"What more could you ask for in a bondmate? He's practically a giant."
"I do say," Bungal interjected. "My stature mostly comes from the rather large bones that dwell beneath my flesh. Well, that and the numerous wild animals I consume in a day. That may have a bit more to do with it than I like to imagine."
"Who cares where it's from?"
the raven-haired raccoon woman declared as she patted her pregnant belly.
"Look at that big belly and those powerful wings and giant razor-sharp fangs. It's like looking into a scaly reflection. The gods couldn't have created a better match for me if they tried, Ben."
"I'm glad to be in your company as well, madam,"
Bungal said with a tiny bow.
"Any need you have shall now be fulfilled by the talents of Bungal the Mighty."
"Oh, think of all the things we are going to destroy."
Nadir's face spread into a sharp grin.
"Excuse me? Did I just mishear you, or did you say we were going to destroy things?"
"Entire orc fleets burned in a flash,"
Nadir sighed longingly.
"Oh, the screams of those green-skinned acorn orders as their flesh is melted from their bones, and they watch as their friends' eyes melt out of their sockets all before their lungs fill with ash and they suffocate on their own breath."
"I say, what is it exactly that you do?"
"She's just overzealous about killing off the orcs. In all honesty, I am too. We have a lot to share with you, Bungal, but in due time you will be one of us, just like all the other dragons on our crew."
"I cannot wait. I always loved a good story, particularly one told with proper prose and a flair for the dramatic."
Right. "I will warn you, though, I suck at doing voices. Just ask my kids."
"Oh, nothing a bit of training can't help with, my good sir,"
Bungal chuffed. I spent the next 20 minutes catching Bungal up on all of our adventures before the rest of my crew returned. Each of them carried at least one small, elongated, furry creature over their shoulders, which was as dead as a doornail.
"We have returned from our hunt,"
Lazanne declared.
"And I see that you have met Nadia's new friend. He's pretty amazing, isn't he?"
"He is," I noted as I smiled at the returning party. "I'm honestly just still processing the fact that we have a full-grown dragon on our side." I was honestly more surprised he had a classy, thespian-esque accent, but I wasn't going to bring that up.
"Full-grown isn't necessarily better,"
Tyrion scoffed as he floated up over the neon plants.
"I'm still the resident fire breather around here, mostly because I can sneak into places discreetly and fly under the radar."
"Oh, indeed, my good friend,"
Bungal agreed with the silver dragon.
"It would never even cross my mind to try and usurp your position here in the brood. I am just happy I finally have a bondmate again. Do you have any inkling as to how awful it is just to be a regular dragon? Day after day of doing nothing but eating, sleeping, and wondering if there is a female dragon out there to satisfy my more primal urges."
Charon and Mirella exchanged a horrified glance before the purple water dragon cleared her throat.
Well,
Charon declared in a voice that was much, much deeper than her normal tone.
If we find a single female dragon, we'll let you know.
Oh my, Boongao gasped. Well, I hope you don't think I'm still some sort of brute. I was actually the leader of my clan. I was chosen by my own peers, not once, but twice, to lead them through the turmoil of this thing we call life.
So, you knew the Morpho Men?
Awara asked, and her eyes glimmered with curiosity.
Before they were slain?
Indeed I did.
The fat brown dragon nodded.
I was bonded with the Morpho Paul.
Oh.
Any hint of curiosity fell from Awara's face as her mouth curled into a frown.
That one.
I'm sensing a story here?
Mira raised an eyebrow and then nudged Awara's shoulder.
You better spill it now or else I'm not going to stop until I get an answer.
Not really a history.
Awara shrugged.
He was just kind of a... What was that word you use all the time, Ben?
Bastard? Fucker? Jedi superhero? I say a lot of words you don't know.
It's an insult.
The orange-haired woman continued.
You told me it had a second meaning, the human rear.
Oh, asshole!
I chuckled, but then I quickly caught myself. Not you! The word you're looking for is asshole.
Then Paul was an asshole.
Awara nodded with a smirk.
Very egocentric and loud, and he always bragged about how one day he would mate with Darwin. Meanwhile, I'm not even sure our queen knew he existed.
I apologize if my former bondmate was rude to you. I will admit, though he was good to me, I could see the inside of his mind with much frequency. It was a strange place. He did think quite highly of himself.
I chuckled at the dragon's words before I relayed the message to Awara. The butterfly woman must have gotten a kick out of the comment as well, because she doubled over and let out a long, loud guffaw.
Oh, of course it was. Maybe I need to form a dragon bond soon, so we can talk about this in further detail.
When we find the next dragon, you'll be one of the first in line. Speaking of which, Boongao, do you know where the rest of your clan is? The brown dragon closed his eyes, hung his head, and let out a long, sad huff.
Oh, I am afraid not, good sir,
he admitted, and then pointed at Jonas.
My memory has been choppy at best lately. I remember flying into the volcano with my clan after all of the Morpho Men died. And then the next thing I recalled was who was being woken up to the sight of that man soiling himself and running away.
I didn't soil myself,
Jonas scoffed, though his tone was a bit defensive.
I spilled the ceremonial ointment when you and your friends woke up, mostly because I was terrified that you were going to devour me.
In all fairness, if you weren't so groggy, we probably would have.
The color drained from Jonas's face as he took a big gulp. What do you remember after that? I tried to bring us back on track. Do you remember where they went after leaving the island?
All I recall is escaping that pesky, crazed wind dragon. After that, we all split apart and went our separate ways. I found this large hole in the middle of this island, so I decided to hold out here.
What exactly were you holding out for?
I'm not sure myself. Perhaps I was simply waiting for somebody to come and put me out of my misery. Or maybe I was waiting for somebody like you to come and free me from my primal madness. Did you know my mom?
Tyrion's voice cracked as he asked the question. Boongal's eyes opened and then turned to the silver fire breather. And a warm, nostalgic sadness washed over the fat dragon's face before he smiled and nodded.
You must be Agarath's son. She didn't join us at first, mainly because she wanted you to hatch before she went into the deep sleep.
So, she's still out there?
Tyrion asked, as tears streamed down his face.
I believe so, though I cannot begin to fathom where she could have gone.
My mom is still out there.
Tyrion trailed off as he looked to the horizon. She sure is, I promised the silver-scaled fire breather. And we're going to find her, even if it means we have to sail every single inch of the ocean to do it. But, for now, let's get a fire going and try out some of these furry things you caught. I don't know about you guys, but I'm starving. Tyrion smiled at me for a moment as the rest of the crew assembled the components for a fire. And once the wooden structure was built, covered with luminous leaves, and had some kindling tossed inside, Tyrion let out a small puff of flames. The fire ignited in an instant, so the crew got to work on cleaning the ferret animals. Yet still, even as we prepared our well-earned dinner, I couldn't help but think of how far we'd come. It worked. After months of putting blood, sweat, and tears into the search, after months of worrying the orcs would get to the dragons first, we'd done it. We had successfully rebonded a dragon with one of my crewmates. The orcs better fucking watch out, because after we found the rest of the dragons, we would be coming for them. And now, there was nothing in the world that could stop us. End of Book 11.